Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Today we are chatting with Bay Area comedian, transplant from the Midwest. I'm from Kansas, Wichita. Oh. You're from Indiana, so we're close.
Same.
Yeah, pretty much the same. The Hoosiers, the Shockers, the Oklahoma City Bomber. Like, we have all the connections of growing up. The BTK killer, just to keep it light in the conversation. Emily Van Dyke, thank you for hanging out today. You're in Ireland. Good Lord.
I'm in Dublin.
So it's nighttime for you there.
It is 5 o'clock. Yes. Or 4 o'clock. It feels, what is time? Time is just a construct. We are floating 5 or 8 hours ahead of normal and trying to just get on board. It's also gloomy. And we just went to the Epic Museum, which talks about Irish emigration, but in like a cool way, experiential emigration. So It's been a day.
I get it. Well, I'm in Colorado, so I mean, you know how that is. You've been out here before. It was snowing yesterday, and today it's supposed to be in the 60s. But we're hanging out. We're getting ready to head to taekwondo class here in about an hour. So I'm excited to chat with you. You know how it is, the trappings of being a parent, for sure. Yeah. So I love your story because you've been doing this for 13 years. And you just released an album, but that seems to be like, I've been talking to your shark party mates. I don't know, we've had everybody and we have so many more lined up, but it seems like the 10-year mark is like the place to release an album. Like, it's where you've been doing it long enough, where you've got just about enough material, good material, at least from I'm not saying good or bad, but just like what people say is good. People being you, I don't know what I'm saying, but you have an album out and you're excited about it. It's really funny too. I just find myself cackling because I relate to so much of it uncomfortably, for sure.
You're like, I'm sad to admit that a lot of things hit too close to home here.
Oh yeah, the shower, there's pooping everywhere, like, you know, all of the, I mean, it's just like, it just all relates in so many different ways. It's great. I love it.
I found it cathartic to develop the material and then very cathartic to record it and release it. And I'm hoping, my dream is that people are like walking or jogging or like on a boring drive. And they're like, man, that was an hour of just like really feeling seen and heard, you know, like this person has made some funny jokes out of just everyday struggle, you know?
Yes. Well, I've heard other comedians say, I don't know if you find it true, but when you're telling these stories and people just become undone, it has to be healing for you too, because you know that it hits them in a way that's truth. It's funny, but it also makes them squirm a little bit. And I think that's what makes comedy so fascinating, is that you have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I find comedy to be a really challenging art form, because you're basically storytelling, or you're telling your writing, but you're supposed to elicit a certain response, you know, and with an album recording, you don't even know if the people are laughing or they're like, this is trash, turn it off. But I feel like at this point, after 13 years, what's most important is that the writing is true to me and it's as efficient as possible. Like, I can try to get as many laughs in there as possible. And most importantly, I'm having fun. So I think I feel like it resonates, because that night that I recorded the album, I put it all on the stage. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to say these jokes ever again. So this is the final curtain call of these jokes. So I really had a lot of fun recording it. And I hope people listen to it and they're like, yes, that really, my cheeks are hurting a little bit and my day's a little bit brighter. Thank you. So I'm hoping that was
I was
perfect.
Listening to it and my kid was like, why are you laughing so hard? And I think, like, for me, one of the first people to really do that for me was Brian Regan. He just hit me in a spot that so uncomfortable. And then Jim Gaffigan later. And then you, I mean, there's just so many, like, I love all forms of comedy. If you look at our show log, we've had so many comedians on, but, and everybody's so different and so unique. You've definitely found your voice. Now, you're a Bay Area comic. I lived in the Bay for 10 years, so I've seen you perform. I'm from Vacaville. I'm sure you know where that is.
So that's where I went to buy my car.
I know. Yeah. Just right off the highway there, I-25. So I'm curious to know, like, the comedy scene here in Colorado is very different versus the comedy scene in San Francisco and the Bay. You've experienced both. I'm interested to know, like, how do you adjust with those differences? Because, like, it seems like the Bay Area comedy scene is a little bit more, I don't know if tight knit is the word, but maybe harder to break in. Did you find that to be true?
I don't know. I think if you just keep going, well, let me put together a thought that makes sense. Okay. So I started because, I got laid off from my job and I was like, I got to do something different. And the lady at the unemployment office was like, you should take a class or try something new. And I was like, all right. So I looked up like comedy, cause I was like, I'm sad. I got laid off from the only job that I want. So I took comedy classes. And everybody makes fun of it. They're like, you can't teach somebody how to be funny.
Yeah,
but you
I
can't.
Hear people crap on it all the time. But I've taken improv classes, stand-up classes, not to be a comic, not to cut you off, but to help be better at this job and to talk to comedians and be able to relate better. So I get it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they can teach you. It does teach you, like, how to hold a microphone, how to, like, write 3 minutes, you know, and the most important thing is it gave me a private place to bomb for like 6 months. So when I did start coming out to do shows, I had like a strong 5 minutes and people were like, oh, look, hey, where'd you come from? So it was nice because I didn't have to go through all the like mortifying experiences of just being like at a mic, just eating shit constantly. Like, wow, I want to go home and never come out. So that was good. But yeah, the comedy community at that time was a little bit more competitive. And it was also the era of the Bringer Show. I don't know.
I'm very familiar with the Bringer Shows. I have comedy friends here in Loveland that talk about the Bringer Shows all the time. And I mean, they were good for what they were, but I feel like it sets you up for a false experience, you know, because it's not really, I mean, I bring 10 of my friends, they're going to laugh if they think I'm funny. I don't know, but yeah, no, I get it. The Bringer Shows. That's funny.
The green rooms weren't as warm back then. They were a little bit more like business oriented. People had a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. And a lot of like really killer comedians came out of that time. Frankie Quinones, Marcela Arguello, Ali Wong at that time had just left. And so people were like, okay, this is like a thing. So I felt like it was a little bit more serious at that time. And now everybody's so supportive, sharing their tips and tricks, you know, everybody's helping each other out. And it's kind of like this, this vibe where it's like a rising tide lifts all boats, ships or whatever. So it's been really like a little kumbaya. Sometimes it feels a little too cozy. You know, you got like a 6-month comedian being like, hey, what's going on? What's up with you? And I'm like, I'm not ready to be your friend yet. You know, like hit me up in 2 years. Like I there's so much. So, it's very supportive. And honestly, like there's so much, disposable income, I would say, in the Bay that the shows have great audiences. They pay a little bit. So it's like, there's just great stage time, which is why people from LA or have moved to LA always pop back up to the Bay to try out new material and work through stuff. So I found it to be a really fun community.
Yeah. And then you wind up, you know, playing at all the spots, the Cobbs and the Punchline. Those are the two main clubs here in Colorado. You know, there's the Fort, there's Comedy Works, Comedy Underground. But here in Loveland, they do brewery shows every month. There's an open mic at the pizza place, which I go to watch and support my friends that run it. But it's just fun to watch people because you see people come in every once in a while that, you know, they've done it before, but they come in just to do their 3 minutes, 4 minutes at a pizza bar, and they have the house just rolling. But I think comedy is a very communal experience. That's cool to hear, though, that people are nice and kind, because you just never know. But I get your point of, okay, slow down, speed racer. Just, and you're excited. You've got your 5 minutes. People are laughing, but we need to just pump the brakes a little bit, because there is a little bit of like grind that has to happen in getting used to people, right? Because the green room, I hear, can be that or very intense, and comics can be like, why are you in here with me? Like, this is private space.
That's right. And you have to have a lot of like social emotional intelligence to see like what kind of setting it is. And you just have to be adaptable and not take it personally. And, you know, comedians are really not known for social emotional intelligence. So a lot of people really put their foot in their mouth right away. So including myself, I've definitely said some things. I was like, well, that wasn't the right thing to say at that time to that person, but it's all good. But yeah, I don't know.
Because if you befriend a comedian, the first response I'm told is like, this guy wants to be a comic and he's going to hit me up for spots or want to know how to write. But there's classes for that. And yes, you do learn how to hold a mic, how to come up to a stage, you know, how to watch and not run a light, which I think are key components that you just, and then you just figure the rest out. So this album is great. It's almost a month to the day that it's been out. What has the response been from friends, family, and fans?
I think there was like, I think it's been great. I mean, I don't know if people would tell me like, we didn't love it, but a lot of people from my like high school, middle school, I've gotten a lot of like deep cut friendships from my past hitting me up on Facebook Messenger, like, hey, I'm listening to your album right now and it's really good. And I'm like, thanks. I don't know. I hear a little bit of surprise there, but that's good. And then, you know, people are like, oh, I asked my friends to download it or family and things like that. So it was really, I'm really excited. I don't have any like data analytics to back up this statement, but maybe I will in the next couple months through my little sound exchange. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, I'm going to get like money from this. I don't know. I never thought about it as like a thing that you get financial benefit from. And I'm really sorry I said that to Blonde Medicine, but I don't know. I'm just like, I just wanted to put it out there for the art and have fun. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think it's good. And what was also great is right before, right after we recorded the album, I reached out to Don't Tell and asked if they would be willing to put me up on a set. And I went down to San Diego and recorded a couple sets, and they stitched it together into like this really beautiful YouTube clip. And so that's been fun too, because the album is obviously only audio. And so it's been nice to be like, I've got this audio album, it's an hour, but then I have some other stuff that's a little bit, you know, different and new, and that's on video. So people, feel like can Google me and there's like something to find that I feel like is part of, you know, some polished work. So I'm feeling good. Like I'm putting myself out there with some intention, and now I'm just trying to write some new stuff based on like who I am right now as a almost 41-year-old mom on sabbatical.
That you can't write it. That writes itself. I mean, you're going to have some true experiences to share. So how long are you out of country for? When do you come back and start doing some touring and, you know, working on new material? Are you coming to Colorado is what I really want to know.
Oh, I would love to come to Colorado. I'm hearing this warm invite, and we will follow up on firming up some Colorado dates. But I'm on this little trip, this little journey with my kids until June. And I'm already booking up shows in the Bay starting June 8th. So I'll be back in June. And then hopefully some things will pop in off. I got a couple little like secret things that are bubbling up, so I'm excited about them either working out or burning in a weird plane crash. But I'll be back in June doing the thing. And I after recording this album, I did my first like headlining night at the Punchline, and so my goal for that was to do that headlining night with a brand new kind of 45 minutes that was different than the album. So that was great. I did it. I felt like it was real loose and weird. It got real weird. All my friends and coworkers that were there, I was like, I'm so sorry that this is such a weird 45, but so hopefully I can listen to that and fine tune that and have like, you know, something a little bit fresher and I don't know, some new takes.
Yes, you should have your team or whoever books you get in touch with the people at the Comedy Fort, Don't Tell Comedy, or the Comedy Underground. There's the Fort is really great, as you know. There's just it's people come in and out all the time. And it's a small club, couple hundred people maybe, and it's just very small and intimate, and it's a great place to perform. I love going there. As I mentioned, Colorado for me feels different because there's just comedy everywhere. And you get to experience it. So 13 years in, I don't know if it's true for anybody or everybody, but do you feel like you've found your voice, so to speak, and really can write in a tone that is just you and not necessarily, not that you've done this, but some people say they feel like they're maybe influenced even slightly by other comics at this stage of the game for themselves?
I feel like I've found my voice, but I still feel very nervous. Like I'm trying to trick myself into believing that I'm like a deep well of comedy that like never, that will never run out. But there are definitely moments like where I'm like 6 months, like, am I telling the same jokes for 6 months? And it's like, of course you're trying to kind of polish something up, but then something will happen in my life and I've got like a brand new 15. So I feel like it's kind of haphazard and I wish it was a little bit more methodical. I know I have like other comedians in the community that are like, they've got their process, their notebook, and they're filming every set, they're reflecting on it, and then they're posting and they're building, and they've got this whole like 10-point business plan and writing plan. And I'm really like on a napkin that's like shoved in my purse or like doing a recording on the drive home at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, I really need to pull my shit together creatively, but it's working for now. It's a little disorganized, but it's working. I definitely feel true to myself, but I could use an intern. I don't know. How's your writing process?
I'm not a comedian, but I mean, I do write for things, articles. Yeah. So for me, it's just, I'm neurodivergent in the sense of like, I don't want to work. And then all of a sudden I'm working for several days at a time, up late producing and things like that. So it really depends. So I feel like I'm pretty solid. I think there's a lot of resources out here now where I can sort of follow up and sort of see things. But for me, I find myself doing a lot of Googling too, because I don't want to duplicate what somebody else has done or like be like somebody else. And for me, like it took probably, I don't know, to reference one of your jokes, it wouldn't be a pandemic without mentioning 2020 at least once in a conversation. Uh-huh. But that's really where things took off for us. And I was able to really kind of figure things out, develop relationships with agencies like Shark Party. I mean, so I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just it comes in spurts, like, yeah, you know. But I have thought about the idea of maybe someday trying it. I've taken classes and I did that, as I said, just to become better at this. So, and I feel like it helps carry on better conversations, but we should talk. Maybe we can work on some stuff. And I don't, you know, have a ton of connections, but maybe make some introductions to some people here and get you out here. It would be cool. So
that would be cool. I would love that.
Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your time. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you a question. You said that things came in spurts and you were working multiple days. I don't mean to turn this into a personal free therapy session for me, but do you feel like calm about that? Or does that trigger your anxiety where you're like, I've been unproductive, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom.
Yes, I do. It makes my anxiety go crazy. But then all of a sudden I can sit down and start pumping out content and I feel good about it. You know, I do have deadlines if it's like a studio thing and they want it out like right away. I'll start getting emails from publicists saying, when is this going to go up? Has it gone up yet? I only see it on YouTube. Are you going to release the audio version of it? That stresses me out. But if I can sit down like on a day like today, have a great interview with you, and then go do things, and then later this afternoon, just put out stuff, do clips for TikTok, and really just, I have a publicist that I work with and she's constantly saying, hey, where are you at with this? Where are you at with that? You know, what's going on with this? Because people are asking. So, you know, with the industry pressure of things, that drives me a little bit. I don't know if any of that helps or answers your question, but
yeah, I need somebody to clip me along. I love a good deadline, you know?
Well, who knows? Maybe we could do something. I don't know what the best way to go about it. We could figure that out. But, and with you being there, there's time to sort of ramp things up and see. I've had a couple comedians recently ask me for help on stuff. So we'll see. Maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Right on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you're funny. This album is great. It can be streamed anywhere. Yes. And then if you do Google you, the Don't Tell Comedy set comes up right away. But where else can people connect with you, Emily?
People can follow me on Instagram at Emily Van Dyke. That's my kind of comedy clip. I'm trying to get more serious about just having a comedy focused social media presence. At Emily Van Dyke is the Instagram handle. And then if you want to get like deep dives into my personal life, you can follow me at Emily Van Dyke 765 and see pictures of my kids and my mom and us at the Epic Museum in Dublin. So I don't know how close people want to be in my business, but those are my two things. And much to my chagrin, I don't have a TikTok. I'm going to pull it together and maybe I'll get like a niece or something to make it for me so my old ass can get going. But that's it. Emily Van Dyke on Instagram.
Awesome. Emily, safe travels. Have fun. And thanks for hanging out on a Saturday. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And have fun at Taekwondo right after this.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you!
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.